want to welcome Durban Christian Center, Phoenix, Pastor Mervin. Can we give them a big God bless you, all those that are watching in Phoenix? I'm going to be there at 10:30, and I'm looking so forward to meeting with all of you and being with all of you, and we're going to have a great time of activation and praying for you, and I look forward to being there. Also, those of you that are watching by way of live stream, wherever you are in this whole wide world, can we put our hands together and give them a big warm Durban Christian Center welcome, 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 welcome. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me quickly to Matthew chapter 14, and we're going to begin to read God's Word, and I want to encourage you, get out your Bibles, get out your notebooks, get out your iPads, or anything that you can take notes down, write scriptures, whatever the Lord quickens to your heart, write it down, then go home, meditate on that, and I do believe that you will see the Lord begin to open up doors of opportunity for you. I'm just trusting and believing you this morning. Amen for you this morning. In verse 22, Matthew 14, we're going to look at verse 22 and read all the way to 33. And immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And so he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Hallelujah. Father, we thank you this morning as we come to your word once again. What a privilege and an honor it is to be able to come before your throne of grace this morning. And we open up our hearts. And Holy Spirit, I thank you today once again that you would speak a word to our hearts, that unless we hear from heaven, we have no hope. Unless we have yet one more encounter with you, Father, we are at a loss and we are in despair. But I thank you today that our eyes are focused on you and our hope is in you today. Now I want to thank you, Lord, that you will speak to every heart, that you will speak to every man, every woman, boy, and girl in this place. You said your word would not come back to you empty. But I thank you today. Let your word prosper in every heart. Let your word prosper in our minds, in our marriages, in our finances, in every area of our lives. And we vow to give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Can you say praise the Lord this morning? I want to talk to you a little bit about defying the odds this morning. Defying the odds. I don't know if you remember, but a couple of weeks ago, I felt the Lord wanted me to tell you, tell my people that I've called them to defy the odds. How many of you remember that word? Lift your hand up high if you remember that word that came. And I do believe with all of my heart that it is a word that God gave to us, that we are at a place in our walk with God and in this ministry where we absolutely cannot look at the natural. If we were to look at KZN and what's happening in South Africa and what's happening in the world today, we would be at a loss. We would be in despair. I don't think I'd get up out of bed. I'd stay in bed, amen, and just turn over and go back to sleep, because what's the use of getting up anyways? But I do believe that God has called us to defy the odds. Would you look at three people and tell them, God has called you to defy the odds. Amen. Praise the Lord. I do believe that every one of our lives is marked by windows of opportunity that God presents before us. And in these windows of opportunity, I do believe that God desires for every one of us to take radical steps of faith. You weren't called just to maintain your faith. You weren't called just to, you might start off taking small steps in faith, but I do believe that there has to come a time in your life when your steps have to get bigger, when your steps have to get bolder, when your steps have to become even more bolder. And the thing about taking radical steps of faith is that it invariably involves significant amount of risk. Can you say amen to that? Look at somebody and tell them, I am a risk taker. Say it like you mean it this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Where there is no risk, there can be no faith. And where there is no faith, I want to tell you, there will be no power of God. As a matter of fact, we could take it even further and say, where there is no faith, there'll be no joy. Where there is no faith, and the use of faith and the working of our faith, there's no intimacy with God. If there is no faith, there is no supernatural manifestation of God. If there is no faith, don't expect a reward from God. If there is no faith that is manifested in your life, the Bible tells us that we cannot be pleasing to God. And without faith, all we have is a dead and empty religion. Can I get an amen? Last week I spoke to you about how it is that our faith creates. And I want to tell you, your faith, if you will work it, will create great adventures with God. Hallelujah. When you look at the Bible characters, this book is full of people who didn't just walk with God, but they had great adventures with God. Is there anybody in this place that is ready for a great adventure with God? Now, I'm not talking when you get to heaven and you walk on the gold streets and you see your mansion and the pearly gates. I'm talking about right here in this day and age, right here. You are wrapped around in your body of flesh and you are looking at in the natural. There's nothing to look at. But I want to tell you, in the bleak, dismal situation that you find yourself in, God has called us to have great adventures with Him. Hallelujah. The Bible characters from Genesis to Revelation had adventures with God. And they made themselves wholly available to God and surrendered themselves completely. And they recognized that without God, they were absolutely nothing. And what did God do? God allowed windows of opportunity into their lives that required every one of them to take radical steps of faith. Look at somebody and tell them, God wants you to take radical steps of faith. Come on, say it like you have a bit of faith in this place. And whether it is in the Old Testament or the New Testament, every one of those people were ordinary people. They were simple people, no airs and graces. But they were people who knew how to take great risks for God. It was the normal thing for them to do. Now, I want to tell you, it is the normal thing for us to do today. I said it is the normal thing for us to do today. You're looking at me like that. You know why? Because a lot of you have been mesmerized by the natural. You've been overwhelmed by the natural. But I'm here to tell you, if you're going to defy the odds, you have to take your eyes off the natural. You can't stay where the doctor gave you that report. You can't stay in the place where the bank manager read you that negative report. You cannot stay in that place where you heard the economist say, saying this, that, and the other about the Rand dollar and about Mr. Dow Jones. You can't stay in that place. If you want God to use you and you want to do something great for the kingdom of God, you have to lift your eyes above the natural. You have to say, God has called me to defy the odds. I might be laughed at. I might be ridiculed. I might be mocked at. But if I'm going to do something great for God, it's going to require a great risk. Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. I think it would be too terrible for words when we get to the end of our life and we are weak and feeble and we say things like, oh, I should have tried that. I should have built such and such. I should have started that business. I should have started that franchise. Oh, if only I was 20 years younger. Should have, could have, would have. And you didn't because you weren't prepared to take the risk. Can I get a big amen? I'm here to encourage you this morning. I'm not here to put anybody down. I'm here to stir you up in the spirit this morning. I'm here to tell you that, listen, I don't want to live a mediocre life for God. I don't want to be a nicey-nicey Christian. I do, but I don't, if you know what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying you got to be ugly and you got to be abrupt and you got to be arrogant, but I want something above average for God. I want to live a life that is above average for God. Can I get an amen in this place? Every person's life that is greatly used by God and that experiences God in powerful ways takes great risk. Bump your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's time for you to take some risks. Why? Because I don't want to be mediocre in God. I don't want it to be said of me that I lived an ordinary, average life for God. I don't want to be average for God. I don't want to be mediocre for God. I don't want to build something mediocre for God. I don't want to influence people for God in a mediocre way. Can I get an amen? I want heaven to interrupt my natural earthly life. I want the suddenlies of God to interrupt my thinking, my finances, my children, my relationship, my calling, my ministry, my marriages. Hallelujah. I want to wake up each morning and say, God, what great adventure do you have for me today? Hallelujah. I don't want to go where the rest of the crowd is going. I want to shift the status quo. I want to be different. I don't want to be PC. I want to be BC, biblically correct. Hallelujah. And I realize if I want all of this, I'm going to have to be prepared to take risks for God. You are going to have to be prepared to take risks for God. You might be misunderstood, but that's okay. It's a risk that you and I must take. You might be ridiculed, and you will be, but that's okay. It's a risk that you and I must take. You might be forsaken and stabbed in the back, but hey, that's okay. It's a risk that you and I must take. We might be the talk of the town. Hey, but that's okay. I don't give a hoot about that. It's a risk that I must take. We might be sadly disappointed. Hey, but that's okay. It's a risk that I must take. When you look at Abraham, you see him leaving his home, his land, his family, his security, his comfort. A God whom he cannot even see speaks to him and tells him to leave. Oh, Lord, where do you want me to go? I'll let you know a little bit later on. Oh, okay, God, okay, okay. Was that a risk? Absolutely. Abraham believed that the invisible promises of God were more real than the visible reality that he lived in, so he left. We look at Moses, and Moses, after 40 years of being in the wilderness, returns home to deliver God's people. Last time he was in Egypt, he had killed somebody and they were looking for him. Bounty hunters were looking for him. His picture was on the billboard, on every poster in town, and there was a large reward out for him, and he took a risk. He took a risk by returning into that place, and he goes to Pharaoh with just a word on his mouth. He says, "My God says, let my people go." Pharaoh laughs at him. All the magicians, all the entourage in that fancy palace, they laugh at him. But I can hear God saying, "Come on, Moses, don't let that bother you. Come on. Come on, Moses, you're my man. Let your faith create an adventure with me. I'm ready to take you on an adventure of a lifetime, Moses. Remember, Moses, with me, this is what you'll do. Without me, this is what you'll do. With me, this is what you'll do." That's what I tell my wife. With me, this is where we're going to go. Without me, this is where. Hallelujah. Is there anybody in this place? You can look at David, a young shepherd boy, who refused for a 9-foot giant to mock his God. He said, if nobody is going to take a risk and fight this and kill this uncircumcised Philistine, I will do it. And so he approaches Goliath. Everybody is laughing. Let them laugh. Why? Because I'm going to use my faith to create an adventure with God. And it just so happens that this fat cat dude of a giant is part of my adventure story. But when I'm finished with this dude, I'm going to hold his head up high in my one hand. Hallelujah. You look at Esther. And the Bible says that she took a great risk by coming before the Lord, even when she hadn't been summoned. Even when she hadn't been summoned, she knew that the destiny of the Jewish people was at stake. And Mordecai says to her, listen, you better do something. Listen, if this thing goes the bad way, it's going to be bad for not only all the Jewish people, but even you in that palace. And he says, come on, how do we not even know? Perhaps this is the reason why you came into the kingdom for such a time as this, that you can take a risk, that you can allow your faith to create an adventure with God. And she says, I'm ready to take the risk. Hallelujah. I'm ready for my faith to work for me. I'm ready to create an adventure of a lifetime with God. Hallelujah. And she comes before the king without being summoned, and the king finds favor for her. Can you say praise the Lord? We look at Jairus, who was a ruler in the synagogue, and he was well known amongst the religious people. He held a high position when it comes to the synagogue, when it comes to the Pharisees and Sadducees and all the who's who in the zoo. And he says, I don't care about my position. I don't care about my social status. But he comes to Jesus. He breaks all protocol. He comes pleading to Jesus, laying himself before the feet of Jesus and saying, Jesus, if you can come and lay hands on my daughter, she is near death. I know that she will be healed. He risked. He took a great risk. Can you say praise the Lord? See, I'm here to tell you this morning that the kingdom doesn't need more pastors. It doesn't need more apostles or chief apostles or whatever you want to call yourself. It doesn't need more prophets. It don't need no evangelists more. I'm not downplaying the Ephesians and fivefold ministry gifts, but I'm here to tell you this morning, the kingdom of God needs more people with real, raw, audacious, bold faith. Hallelujah. It needs more people who are willing to take big risks for their big God. Hallelujah. Matthew 11 and 12, Jesus said, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. The Amplified, Matthew 11 and 12 says, and from the days of John the Baptist, I don't know if you can get the amplified on, but until the present time, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault. Violent assault. The devil hates you. He hates the church. He hates anything that is representative of Christ. And then it goes on and says, and violent men and women seize it by force. How? By force. As a precious prize, a share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion. Hallelujah. Listen to me, family of God. God is looking for some violent men and women who are ready to seize opportunities in God and take great risks for God. The kingdom is looking for people who are ready to take a risk and pray for sick people and see what happens. Ready to take a risk and get a couple of souls saved for the kingdom of God. Ready to take a risk and seize the wealth that's in this world and use it for the extension of God's kingdom. Hallelujah. Violent men and women who are ready to take a risk and walk on the waters of life. Hallelujah. You see, if we stay in the boat, we become monument makers. But if we get out of the boat, we become history makers. Can I say that one more time? If you stay in that comfort place, same old, same old, same old, same old, just routine, you're in a ritual. What happens? We become monument makers. But if you dare begin to stir your faith and move your faith and get out of the boat, what happens? You become a history maker. If you stay in the boat, we become like the Pharisees and Sadducees of Jesus' day, where we are religion makers. But if we get out of the boat, hallelujah, we become truth makers. Whoa. If we stay in the boat, we have a form of godliness that denies the power of God. But if we get out the boat and begin to walk on the water, we get to experience the power of God. If we stay in the boat, our lives become the same old, same old, same old, same old, same old. But if we get out of the boat, our faith has a chance to create, and we create the greatest adventure possible, and we get to live out that adventure with a great and mighty God. Can I get a better amen? Can I tell you something? Risk has been placed in the heart of every person, put there by God for God. You have risk in your heart. You say, how do you know? God put it there. Who put it there? God did. For who? For Him. Maybe you've misplaced it. Maybe you've neglected it. Maybe you've misused it or whatever. But I'm here to tell you that right now, God is calling you and I to take that risk and do something great for God right now. Lift your hands and say after me, God has placed risk in me so that I may do something great for Him right now. Right now. You see, let me ask you a question this morning. What is your concept of God? Whatever your concept is, it will determine what you do for God. What's your concept this morning? How do you view God? Do you see God as omnipotent or is He impotent? How do you see God this morning? Is He a loving Father or is He a vengeful God? How do you see Him? Is He a kind and benevolent God or is He standing with a shambok in His hand, ready to castigate you, ready to strike you at a moment's notice? Is He a faithful God and always mindful of you, or is He a flaky God that's here today and gone tomorrow? How do you see Him? Because when your concept of God is diminished, then so too is your courage for Him. How big is your God this morning? I'm here to ask you. If He is big, then you will risk big. If He is small, then you will risk small. Can I say that again? If your God is a big and mighty God, then your risk will be big. But if you see God as a small God, I don't know if he's available, or maybe next year, then your risk for him will be small. Your concept of God is very important. And when your concept of God is off, then everything else in your life will be off, and you will suffer. Your marriage will suffer. Your finances will suffer. Your businesses will suffer. Your ministry and callings will suffer. Your life and what you do for God, hear me, will never outperform your view of God. Can I say that again? Your life and what it is that you do for God will never be greater than your concept of God. That's why you got to get the right concept of God this morning. That's why you got to get the right concept of God. He's either the Alpha and Omega or he's nothing. He's either this great and mighty God or he's not. Hallelujah. If he is the Alpha and Omega, you will risk everything. If he is a great and mighty God, omnipresent and omnipotent, all powerful, all knowing, then you will step out and take a risk for God. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen in this place? You see, every time we increase our faith, we increase our faith every time we do something that activates our faith. We increase our faith every time we do something that activates our faith. Everybody in the boat with Peter did nothing, absolutely nothing, to activate their faith. They simply stayed in the boat. But Peter said, No. My faith is bigger than this. I can't be using last year's faith. That's stale manna. I can't be using last week's faith. That's got cockles on it. It's got all kinds of worms on it. I've got to do something that has got to activate my faith. And what did Peter do? He activated his faith by simply getting out of the boat. Come on, Peter. If you want to do something big for God, you got to get out of the boat. It's the only way, Peter, to grow your faith. It's the only real way for true faith to be developed. You have to move. The kingdom responds to movement. Say that after me. The kingdom responds to movement. Say it again. The kingdom responds to movement. Say it one more time. And your faith responds to movement. That's why sometimes all you got to do is move. In CrossFit, when your heart is pounding 170 beats per minute and you've still got about 3 or 4 minutes of the watt left, every part of you is wanting to stop. The key in CrossFit is just keep moving. Just keep moving. Somehow, if you can just keep moving, your heartbeat and your lungs and your mind and your muscles and every part of you just follows that movement. But if you stop, to start up again takes forever. So that's why they'll tell you, just keep moving. Breathe deeply, but just keep moving. You better bump 2 or 3 people and tell them, deep breathe, but just keep moving. Deep breathe. It might hurt. Your toe might be sore. You might not want to do this. You might not want to lift your hands and worship. But deep breathe deeply. Just keep on moving. Why? Because your faith responds to movement. Your faith. And I don't care if you can write a book with all the negative thoughts in your mind. Just keep moving. I don't care if 10,000 of Job's friends are surrounding you and they're all telling you this, that, and the other. Just keep moving. If you just keep moving, your faith doesn't respond to the friends round about you. Your friends doesn't respond to whether it's raining or snowing. Your faith doesn't respond to whether it's cold or not. Your faith responds to your moving. We hear him saying some negative stuff, but look at his body. He's moving. Just follow his movements. Don't worry about what he's thinking. Don't worry about what he's feeling. Don't worry about what he's saying. Just follow his movements. Bump your neighbor and tell them, breathe deeply, just keep moving. Ah, I don't know who I'm talking about. You might want to turn over and lie in bed and not face next week, but something on the inside of you says, come on, it's time to get up, and you put your shoes on and you take 3 hours to tie your shoelaces. But as long as you are moving, you drag yourself downstairs. You don't even feel like having breakfast, but I heard the pastor say, breathe deeply and just keep moving. Everybody, when I get to work, they're waiting for me to bring the business. I don't know whether I'm going to work today to tell them we're shutting the doors and this is the final day. But just keep moving. Why? Because by the time you get to work, you don't know that your faith has been working something for you. I can just imagine the people sitting on David's boat, those disciples. What's he doing that for? What about souls? Getting souls saved. Who's going to get souls saved? We're all saved. What's he doing that for? Couldn't he use his faith and get some money and plant a church or something? What's the purpose of that? What's the purpose of that? The purpose of that, my dear friend, is Peter is using his faith to create an adventure with God so that tomorrow when the victory comes, you'll know why. A lot of people think, oh, well, it's the favor of God. You see, look, they got promotion. The favor of God. No. What you don't know is they took risk-taking faith. They got up out of the boat. They opened. A window of opportunity came. They worked their faith. Their faith created something in the spirit realm. And 3 weeks later, they are sitting on the top of the mountain with their victory. They are sitting on the top of the mountain with the victory gained, that ground grain. And you didn't know that it was because they took a risk. Bump your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's time to take a risk. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. See, the thing about taking a risk is it's got to do with a choice. Everything about Jesus is a choice. If you want to serve Jesus, it's a choice. If you want to worship him, it's a choice. If you want to get up and spend time with him, it's a choice. Everything about the kingdom, everything about Jesus revolves around a choice. Nobody's going to make you do anything. So when you don't feel like worshiping, what do? It's a choice. I'm going to lift up my hands. No. Because faith responds to movement. If I can just get my hands here, hey, that's better than here. Come on. If I can just say hallelujah, that's better than just keeping my mouth closed. So I don't feel like singing. I got a headache. My toe is sore. I just don't feel like it. But no, it's a choice. And by faith, I will lift up my head. And by faith, I will open my mouth. And by faith, I will love and forgive. And by faith, I will worship God. It's a choice. It's a choice. I do believe this morning that God has spoken to every heart. I do believe that eyes are going to be open this morning. For what, Pastor? Windows of opportunity are going to come your way. And you're going to look at those opportunities. And in order to get into those opportunities, you can't use yesterday's faith. It's going to require you to take radical steps of faith. And radical steps of faith invariably involve what? Risk. Look at somebody and tell them, 4 letters, 1 word, risk. Come on, look at somebody and tell them, risk. Hallelujah. It's a choice. But know this, God has placed risk in every heart, placed there by him, for him. Can you say amen? Everybody stand up to your feet this morning. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. I want everybody right now to begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. I want you right now to stir up your heart. Stir up your faith. Come on. There's enough faith in this place to create a whole brand new world, a whole brand new marriage, a whole brand new business, a whole brand new finance portfolio. Come on, come on. I don't care what the doctor said. I don't care if five of your suppliers have written you off. Come on. Your faith can create. Your faith can create. And all your faith looks for is movement. It's movement. It's movement. Come on, come on. Keep praying in the Spirit. Ha, 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 ha. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Whoa. Yeah. Yes, Lord. Now lift your hands and say, Father, I thank you for your word that's come to me. This morning I declare that faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith has arisen in my heart. And today I am ready to step out of my boat, out of my mediocrity, out of my average, out of my normal, out of my same old, same old, same old, same old, same old routine. And I am ready to activate my faith. Oh, I'm ready. My concept of you is a big God, a mighty God. And because you are big, I am ready to take big risks for you. For my faith is ready to create an adventure of a lifetime, of a lifetime. In Jesus' mighty name, I receive it. Now give the Lord a praise offering in this place. Hey! Hallelujah! Let's all sing that song. Waymaker. Every head bowed, every eye closed in this place. Hallelujah. Following Jesus. Coming to Jesus requires great risk. I remember when I just gotten saved, and there was a friend of mine, a very close friend, and when she heard that I had given my life to the Lord, she said, what a big waste. What a waste. You see, in some people's eyes, when you come to Christ and surrender your life to God, it's like you missing out on everything that life has to offer. What a waste. Think of all the clubs that he could have gone to. Think of all the girls that he could have had. Think of all this, all that the world has to offer. But you know, all of that pales into insignificance when you think about everything that Jesus has to offer. When you think about the life that he can create out of your life. When you think about the purpose that he brings, about the destiny. When you think about the fulfillment and the satisfaction, there is nothing that can satisfy you like Jesus can. Like Jesus can. There's nothing. All the amount of alcohol, all the amount of woman or men, all the amount of drugs, all the amount of discoing and clubbing, all the amount of prominence, all the amount of connections that you have in this world. All of that pales into insignificance when Jesus comes. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm here to tell you this morning, friend, that God loves you so very, very much. And sometimes we do things and we fail and we miss the mark. And the guilt is so overwhelming. We wake up guilty. We go to sleep at night guilty. Only to wake up the next morning again, riddled with guilt. And the pressure of that. And the condemnation that you can't even lift up your head up high because you're so embarrassed and ashamed. And God knows exactly all of that, because that's what sin creates. Faith has the power to create, but it creates something a whole lot different. But sin, if you will leave it and let it lie, it will create all kinds of misery, all kinds of suffering, all kinds of anguish and pain. But I'm here to tell you this morning that all of that can stop. It can stop. You say, how, Pastor? Just simply by opening your heart and responding to this amazing God who loves you so much. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I don't know where you are today. I don't know what's happened, but maybe you've missed the mark. Maybe you've been overwhelmed by guilt and embarrassment and shame. You said, Pastor, I've tried to be a good father, but I failed. I've tried to be a good husband, but I failed. I tried to be a good woman, a good wife, a good mother, but I have failed. And God knows that, and He understands that. And today, we're not going to investigate your failures and look into it and put a spotlight on just how terrible a person you are. God forbid that. Jesus died on a cross, and God put His spotlight on Jesus. And God poured His anger and fury on Jesus, so that today, when He looks at you, He can look at you through the eyes of love and grace and mercy. And all it takes is just a movement. Remember, I said your faith responds to movement. All it takes is just the opening of the door of your heart. It's a choice that you must make. And when you do, faith responds to the movement that you make. Did you hear me? Faith responds to the movement that you make. And right now, I want to give you the opportunity to move for God. With every head bowed, every eye closed, you're watching by way of live stream, Phoenix, all over this world. You're ready this morning to invite Jesus. You're ready to respond by moving your heart, moving your mouth, moving your faith. Those of you that are in this place and say, Pastor, that's me, can you pray for me? I'm going to count to three. When I get to three, I want you to lift up your hands as a sign for me to pray. We're almost done. Tonight, I'm going to be talking about good God, bad day. Did you ever have a bad, bad day and wonder if God is still a good God? I want to tell you, in the middle of those days, He is still a good God. I'm going to share with you some principles and pray with you. We're going to look at Elijah and see what happened to Elijah. That's tonight, 5 p.m. Good God, bad day. Anybody ever have such a day? Nobody in this place. Any real people have a bad day? Come on. Come on. Maybe this week was a bad week. Maybe last month was a bad month. But He's still a good God in the middle of the trials and hardships and adversity. That's tonight, 5 p.m. It's going to be a great word. It's going to bless you. But right now, I want to pray for you. I'm going to count to three. Ready? Here we go. One, two, get ready. Three. Put your hand up high and say, Pastor, here's my hand. God bless you. Quickly. Hands. God bless you. Anybody else? Quickly. Lift up your hand. Lift up your hand. In Phoenix, lift up your hand. You say, Pastor, I'm ready to come to Jesus just as I am with all of my faults. Those of you that have your hands uplifted, quickly, I want the team to go out right now. Lift your hands up. Those of you that are saying it's me. And I want you to come. Bring them out. Bring them out. Bring them out. Come on. come down to the front. I'll pray for you. Come, 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 come. Watching in Phoenix, we're going to hand back to you right now over to Pastor Mervin and the leadership. God bless you. Thanks for watching with us. I'll see you now, 10:30. Amen. Come on, let's respond, family. Let's welcome these folks. There's more. There's more of you. Just get up out of your seat and come. Come, 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 come. That's right, come. That's right, come. That's right, come. That's right, come. There's about five more people that need to come. Just get up out of your seat and come to Jesus. Come on, I want the elders, the late pastor, go and find people. They're sitting in the congregation. Some of them are too embarrassed to come. They're too embarrassed to come. I want you to go and get them. Go and get them. Go and get them. Come on.
Jesus, I rest and King. Lord, you reign majesty.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Is there anybody else right now before we close? You say, hold on, Pastor, I'm coming. I'm coming. I'd like to give my heart to Jesus. All right, we've got to close right now. Those of you in the front, those of you watching by way of live stream, I want you to pray these words after me. Say after me, Heavenly Father, I come to you today in Jesus' name, just as I am, with all of my faults, all of my failures, and all of my sin. And I ask you for forgiveness. I repent today, Lord. Thank you for dying for me. Shedding your blood for me today, right now, I receive eternal life and the forgiveness of all of my sins. Thank you for your amazing blood that washes me, cleanses me. I'll never be the same from this day onwards. My life has changed. I'm a brand new person. And I belong wholly to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stretch your hands out towards these folks? Come on, every one of them. Father, we bring them to you today. Every one of these precious people. Thank you for these lives right now. In the name of Jesus, we plead the blood of the Lamb. Lord, we proclaim your kingdom come in them. Right now, thank you for touching their lives. Thank you, Father, that they would sense your amazing love. We declare, Lord, right now that the curse is reversed. And in Jesus' name, we speak the life of God. Plans and purposes of God be done in these lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.